Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, everbeyondradio.com, Tiernasau from Ireland, scottishsovereignsontheland.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and a good wakening. If you're awake, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
So, welcome back. Hey, I'm back online. Welcome. I'm welcoming myself back online because, you know, I'm supposed to be the one who's doing the welcoming and, like, yeah, very complex. Anyway, it's nice to have you all. I'm now solidly back online, having been disconnected for a good part of 3 weeks by an incredibly incompetent engineer. Or he was sent by the universe to allow me time to learn things about electronics that I never knew, that enables me to work with red, green, blue colors and making nice colorful things. So thank you, universe, for that opportunity to have some space so that I can get my head around things like metal oxide silicon field effect transistors and things like that that in my youth I was kind of learning it. One of the things I'd realize is in my youth I was kind of learning electronics and I got kind of put off, like I said, in the bad teacher experience. But I didn't bother exploring how these things work and, you know, current flow and things like that. And now having, you know, coming back into the new electrics and understanding things like that, I'm going to need to know this stuff again. So, to that end, I've cosmically arranged a break for me to learn a few things about electronics and, do a lot of soldering. I did loads of soldering. I probably got lead poisoning. at least solder. You know, I really like the smell of solder. The flux of solder has a particular. It's a resin. You know, it's one of these gums, and I really like that smell. it's like some people like the smell of road tar. You know, when they're laying the tarmac on the road. So. Here I am, back online, back in my studio, back with my good old trusty Solaris mic. I'm very happy with that, and I'm in a comfortable chair as well. Oh my God, my kitchen chairs are they're hard wooden, you know, country chairs. You know, some of them, you know, there is a cushion that kind of falls off all the time. But they're basically that kind of hardwood, you know, kind of thing. Not very comfy. And I've got my proper reclining desk office chair with cushions and stuff and sheepskin and woolly blankets and stuff like that for a nice, comfortable studio experience because, you know, Sundays I'm in the saddle for some 12 hours or sometimes even longer. But... So, that's me. That's where I'm at. Everything's fine. I'm completely healthy. Actually haven't been eating that much, which is unusual for me. And so that means that more and more weight is coming off me, excessive weight. And with that, various revelations. It's quite interesting what happens when you lose... When you stop storing something, it comes out and you can learn what it is that you haven't been looking at. So, we are... Now, I hope you enjoyed the last tune. That tune is called Slow to Surface, and it was my band, The Mystery School, which, where is it? 1992 we recorded that. And it was, you know, I wanted something that was a kind of therapy in music, you know, musical therapy. And so you hear this kind of note that kind of just rings and rings and rings and rings and rings, and then it starts pulsating and ringing and just growing and getting wilder and wilder and wilder. I tell you, I had the most, to me, actually doing that recording, that was therapy for me. Just to play that long note. You see, playing long notes, it's quite interesting. Not many instruments can actually do that. The one that you think of is an organ, you know, but it, you know, in the old days it used to take quite a lot to get an organ going. You had to, you know, have somebody pedaling it or something. You know, with our modern instrumentation and electronic feedback and stuff, I was able to keep these notes sustained for, you know, a minute at a time or something like that. Very long notes, like, you know, making an ohm, you know, ohm, if you do that kind of thing, and incorporate that with your breath, then you are starting to move on other frequency dimensions. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the dimension of emotion. We're going to be talking about emotional waves. There's this wave coming towards us. Now, many of us don't see, most of us don't see outside of the visible spectrum. That's because that's what visible means. I know, it's like tautology. But if you think about a burst of energy, you might think, what colour is that burst? Well, it's not any colour, it's every colour. It's every single frequency. The burst is happening on every single frequency. And this is what is coming towards us, is a burst of energy that came from the centre of the galaxy. And it's, you could say it was it would have a shockwave effect. But a shockwave is basically a very rapid change of state, transition from nothing to a lot. that's what we call a transition. Impact, you know, the a lot is, you know, hit by light, you might think, oh, light, that's not going to hurt me. But bam, you know, you can, with a certain flash gun, you can take an old-fashioned flash gun, you know, and hold up a piece of black paper and let the flash go quite close quarters at the black paper. And you can feel the impact. You can feel the shockwave of the light hitting the black paper. Bet you didn't know that. Oh, there's the kettle going. I'm going to have to introduce Michelle in a minute. And what's happened there? Oh, well. So it's a... oh, God, so it was with great pleasure that I'm going to be introducing my my guest, fellow host and fellow... Wolf Spirit, Wolf Pack core team member, Michelle Caruso. Good afternoon, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, JP. I like how I was cute there with the teapot.
Yeah. Just coming to the boil.
Drink.
Bunny coming to the boil. Anyway.
I don't know if I like the sound of it.
No, it sounds a bit bad. No. Let me just go and deal with the kettle for a second, and then
deal with your kettle.
Yeah, and say hello to the people and tell them how things are.
Hello, people. So nice. It's, how cool is it to be back here with JP on his first week back? I miss JP. I'm glad he is back, and I think he had an easier time being away than. For us here, we had a lot of work to do, and we did it. And so, I'll just take this moment to thank my fellow WSR friends, Colleen, Nancy, Dolly, Richard, Vanessa. And if I left anybody out, I'm really sorry. We're at work for the last few weeks, and it was good. I think in the overall. Scheme of things, it was good. It helped, gave us some time to put our get our visions together and get connected. I know I've just been super, super, super busy and felt like I hadn't really been paying too much attention to the station. So with you stepping away, JP, it kind of put like a little bit of a fire under my butt. But I'm glad you're back. I did miss you. And I'm glad you had fun with your soldering. You know, we say solder in the U.S.
It sounds like sodomize, though, to me. So I don't like to say solder.
I always question, why don't we pronounce the L?
Yeah, exactly. And solder. Soul. I put the soul into solder. I could do that. Thought about that. Yeah. So, yeah, the kettle singing. Yes, indeed. The tea's made. I showed it to Colleen the other day. I haven't actually implemented the idea yet. Because, you know, all my ideas, I might have an idea that takes a microsecond to think of, but actually to build the damn thing, you know, to get the wires and screw it up and solder it together and all that stuff, and then to program the little controller chip, that takes time. You know, it takes a lot of time, and I need to make everybody go away for a period of time to do that. So every time I have an idea, it means, like, somebody's going to suffer.
What is Colleen talking about? Why aren't you using the T-Made?
The T-Made, right. Okay, so let me just explain what a T-Made is. You can look it up. You can go to Google, type in Goblin Tea's Made. Goblin as in the hobgoblin, Tea's Made as in, you know, your tea's made. What it is basically it's a little electric kettle and a little teapot with electrical switches that turn it off when the kettle is empty. So you fill it up and then you put it on the little stand, and the little stand's got a switch on it. So, and the kettle works like a percolator, so it's got a tube at the bottom, so it boils all the water and then forces the water up the tube into the teapot, which you prepare with your cup of tea. So basically, it's kind of advanced teammate, then you set it, and you at some point I will create a remote controlled main switch for it, which is simple. That's really simple, and then I can press a button in the studio at 10 to the hour, and by the time I get into this into the kitchen, the tea is made, and I can pour it out and bring it back. Ha da 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 da.
That's pretty fancy.
That's what the tea, and I've wanted one for ages to be able to do this. I could easily do it. I mean, I don't even need to build a circuit to do it. I just need to wire it up. I've got remote control plugs and things. Just to make
don't
a hole.
Don't put any lights on it.
It's going to have rainbow lights.
Please.
It's going to have rainbow lights. Everything's going to have rainbow lights. I tell you. So the other thing that I've been getting into is the rainbow light generator, which is the RGB LED. And £2, right? What's £2 in... $3, right? Buys 50 of these little suckers. And, you can light up a room with about 10 of them. You know, that's how they're really bright. You know, well, I mean, when I say light up a room, they produce a nice glow. Last night I made one that you stand a crystal on it, and it cycles around the rainbow really, 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 really slowly.
The crystal, what is it, a clear quartz?
Any crystal. It's a stand.
But what did you use?
At the moment I've got a great big, it's about a 10-inch tall, what is it, fluorite. I think it's fluorite. Is it fluorite? No, not fluorite. Calcite. It's it's very striated. It dissolves in water. Somebody will put it in the chat room. It's a kind of selenite. That's the one.
Yeah.
So it's not really a crystal. It's been carved to look like a crystal with a point, but it's, you know, it's a big chunky thing, and it's doing this thing. But
funny you picked a selenite. Selenite is like the best crystal for absorbing negative energies.
Oh, how interesting!
And you never have to clean it. It does not get it doesn't get full. It doesn't get impurities. You never have to sage it or anything. Oh.
Well, very interestingly, I washed it in alcohol, which is how I cleanse crystals.
Oh, don't you?
No, I didn't wash it. I just took a damp cloth, a damp thing, because it was dusty. It was really dusty. It had been at the sitting on my shelf.
Is it polished or is it raw?
Oh no, it's very raw. Mm-hmm. You know, And it looks lovely now. I mean, when I just wiped it down, you know, when you get your kid, you get the kid and you get your hanky and you wipe the kid's face and it's kind of cleaning it. It just felt like doing that, you know. Ah. At least I didn't spit on it, which is what a lot of mothers do. Did your mum always use that?
I think she just left us dirty. Whenever we come across, like, some of my babies or pictures, my father, like, and I'm, like, you know, 2, 3 years old, my father's always like, you look like, you know, like a ragamuffin, like, your hair is always a mess, you're always dirty. And I'm like, he says it to me like it was my responsibility at, like, 2 years old. But I am, I'm like, a mess in all my pictures. I guess I was a tomboy.
Well, nowadays you're not so not such a mess, huh?
I don't like getting dirty now.
I don't like sticky. I really don't like sticky. And you know,
sticky now.
Sticky is horrible.
At least 2 showers in the summertime.
Oh man! I mean, even sticky on my hands. I handle wood because I'm, you know, I have a wood stove, so I have to handle pieces of pine. Of course, pine has sticky stuff. It's delicious. I mean. If I find any without, you know, if I find it before I see it, because normally the thing I just picked up the log and it's got a piece on the underside and it's all sticky and I can't get it off my hands. If I find a piece, I'll scrape it up and I'll save it because we make pine tea, Nikki and I do, which is antifungal and antinungal.
I was going to say, that's got to be super cleansing.
It's fantastic.
That's got to be, I never even heard of that.
And particularly, well, you know tea tree?
Tea tree oil?
Tea tree oil, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, basically tea tree is an Australian kind of thing, but it does that, the same thing. Pine does the same thing.
It has the same kind of properties.
Yeah, so wherever you are, find a local pine. And use the resin from that. And what we do is you take a cup of an enamel mug, you know, one that can take some heat, and put it on the stove, and put a piece of the resin in some water, and eventually you see this very, very fine oily substance on the top. Mm-hmm. But only tiny amounts of it, which is just as well, because that's turpentine. If you drink that tea, it will knock your candida for 6. I mean, it's really very powerful. Yeah.
It'll knock your candida for what?
It'll really put a lot of damage into your candida.
But what term did you use?
Knock it for 6, sorry.
What is that?
That's a cricket term. Of course you wouldn't understand it.
Oh,
you
know. Okay.
I would say it would hit it out of the ballpark. Would that be an equivalent phrase?
Yeah.
It would take it right away.
Well,
from
it would be knock it out of the ball.
Knock it. Yeah, knock it.
Knock it.
Yeah. So I'm soldering my knockets.
Oh
good. Yeah. So pine trees. There we go. Vanessa saying pine trees are loaded with vitamin C. When she walks to my house, there's loads of pine trees. A few pine trees.
So you collect your own sap?
Yeah, we go to the forest and you take a little bag. I mean, if you've got the dog, you've got the dog bags and anyway, haven't you? You know, you collect the doggy poo and put it in a bin in America, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got the bags in your pocket. So you can use one of those bags to and a penknife and you can knock off a bit of resin when you see one.
Do you ask the tree first if it's okay?
Yeah.
Check it. What are we talking about here today?
Thank you. We're talking about emotions.
Emotional buoyancy.
Emotional buoyancy. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
That was like the best word that you came up with.
Yeah, because, well, I was looking for, I was thinking about the show, but I was thinking really about the thing that we wanted to talk about on the show, about how to remain on top of all the emotional waves that are hitting us. I'm not saying that it's only an emotional wave. I'm saying that it's a really big wave, but one of the components of the wave is emotions. And that's probably going to be the most overwhelming thing for us, because it's like being sensitive on one particular note. that say, you know, if you go into a canteen, there's that sort of blary sound, and it's like, if you can't stand that blary sound of when you go into a canteen and the sound of dinner plates and reflections of the building and the hard ceilings and everything, it makes it very overwhelming to go into a place like that. And on an emotional level, we have the same thing, because we've been used to this very kind of quiet place where our emotions, you know, we have our emotions, and then we're in with the groups of people, we, you know, everybody has their emotions. But now we're getting waves of energy, just energy. They're just like random, but whatever their frequency are, they will, you know, spin us off. They'll hit on to one of the things that we may be carrying and trigger that frequency. And in the coming months, things like that just might, you know, it will be very much out of the blue, literally, because it, nobody's going to be doing it to you. It's not going to be coming from other people. It's going to be coming from the galactic center, and it's just going to be a frequency that will trigger one or other of any emotional blockages that you might have. And so it's like going through a very, very intense relationship where you're triggered by whatever the other person says, and you have to deal with it. So to that end, Michelle, how can we start looking at ways that we can remain afloat? I mean, well, things have been bad enough, but I think they're going to get very much more intense.
I want to kind of just add to what you were just saying a little bit, because I think, you know, what you touched on there is so important for us to really understand what the deal with emotions are, because the reason we have problems with emotions on this planet is because of what we've been taught and told about them. So understanding that emotions, you know, we're made up of energy, right? Everything's made up of energy. We're made up of energy. Emotions are energy. They have a frequency. They have their energetic component. So any kind of energetic shifts, any kind of energetic changes will alter our emotional state, because we're energetic. Our emotions are energy. And that's what we really have to understand. Emotions are not, we have to not look at, I shouldn't say we have to, people only have to do what they want to do. But what I would really like to see, and this is something that's been, you know, a part of my life for pretty much all of my adult life, is, you know, understanding that, you know, emotions are not, they're not necessarily bad or good. They're like any other piece of energy. And it's all about how you use it, how you respond to it, how you allow it to work with you, that is going to determine whether it's going to have an outcome you want or an outcome you don't want. And so that's the, you know, the really the big thing. I mean, like, you know, anger. We deem anger as a negative emotion. So yes, anger has a lower vibration than, say, the, you know, emotion of love or bliss or joy. But anger can be a very positive thing if you use it for, say, you're angry at, you know, an injustice that's happening, you know, or somebody's being victimized, right? If you can get angry about that, you can use that anger in a very positive way to create a change. And so that's what I would really like to see happening more and more with people, is using their emotions, understanding our emotions are a tool, they're a resource that we have to create and to change and to manifest and to transform. So really, they're not bad or they're not good, you know. And I really like what you said too about that. It's not about what somebody's doing to you. It's a frequency that you're experiencing, like a frequency around you, somebody's vibration, or, you know, a vibration from something else is going to impact you, because that's how our energies work. When energies meet, there's a reaction. And so we're no different. And so, but we always have the ability within us. We were all born with this. We were not incarnated into this world without this ability. We have the ability to have self-mastery in the sense that we get to decide how we're going to respond and what we're going to do with the frequency that we're experiencing.
So that's the difference between reacting and responding. As Dave Corso always used to say, do not react, respond. Which is, basically... The reaction is the emotional, as if you're an animal. Responding is the human, responding, making appropriate response.
Yeah, like definitely just said, anger leads to action. It doesn't have to, that's the thing. And the action that it leads to, we are always making that decision. We're always making the choice, whether we're doing it subconsciously or consciously, we're deciding, and that's a good exercise, really, to start really working with your emotions, get angry about something and challenge yourself to do absolutely nothing about it. Because most of the stuff we get angry about doesn't need us to do anything about it anyway in our day-to-day lives. And what we do about it usually doesn't change the situation anyway, because we're usually angry about somebody else's choice. The decision somebody else has made, and we can't control other people. So it's a really good exercise. Can you get really pissed off? Like, can you really be in a really pissed off state and just be okay with it and just have absolutely no reaction? I look at it as, going into neutral. If you think about, the gears on a car, there's reverse, forward, and neutral, right? So I think about dealing with our emotions from a negative, neutral, and positive. We always want to be in a positive place, right? So we often try to go from negative, we say, oh, I feel negative, and we just try to shift into positive. And that's a big fault of the psychology community, whatever the heck you want to call them, this whole thing about positive thinking. Yes, positive thinking is awesome, but we have it so distorted in mainstream of what it means and how to get there and what truly is negative and what's positive and what happens when we have a negative feeling. So just like I said, energy, anger is not like a bad, necessarily a bad energy. It's what we do with it. It's how we respond to it. It does have a low frequency. So you don't want to stay in that frequency for a long period of time, right? But if you're human, you're living on this planet, you're aware of, and you're, involved in anything outside of yourself, unless you're living in the, in the woods somewhere eating berries all by yourself, there's something that's going to make you angry at one time or another. And we have this tendency to respond to it by either lashing out, attacking what's making us angry, or resisting what's making us angry by, pushing it away. And then figure, well, we'll just feel better when that is no longer around us. But we're not releasing the energy of the anger, or we're not transforming it to something positive, because you can transform your energy. You don't have to release anger. You can transform it into something else. But I think of it, I found, working with my clients, it's the concept of telling them, to shift into a neutral state. When you're in a place of an emotion that feels uncomfortable, or it's an emotion you don't want to be in, think about shifting into neutral. It's a lot easier to shift into neutral than it is to try to be positive, and it's a lot more authentic. Usually when we just try to go from negative and change it into positive, we end up just kind of putting like a false persona on, and what happens is we've just suppressed that energy, and now we're holding that vibration. So that low vibration of anger, we've now got it stuffed into our own energy system. And that's definitely not what we want.
Well, yeah, this is the thing about trying to control emotions. A lot of people try to control emotions by denying that that's the emotion that they're feeling, and they, right, oh, I don't want to feel bad, I want to feel good, so I'm going to replace that with a positive thought. But really, that's not going to cure the problem, which has already started because of your upset inner child. That happened like 50 years ago. But that has never been addressed. And this is part of the problems, is that we're going to find ourselves in places where we have to deal with these things that never got dealt with, you know. And the more we've tried to replace the healing with some kind of denial, the worse it's going to be when we actually try to get back to it. So, you know, without laying judgments on it, because it may be very, very difficult and uncomfortable problems and feelings that you might be actually denying, how do we start at least, you know, getting a razor's edge in behind that kind of facing plate that's been glued on and nailed on and screwed on? How do we get behind it and lever it off and get back to our authentics?
Well, are you meaning like how? What do you mean by the razor's edge of the plate? Are you talking about like the feeling?
The covers of
like
the covers of denial, right? Which can be very cleverly disguised as rational thought or clever little thinkings, and you know what I'm saying, that we make these amazing excuses for ourselves not to actually face reality.
I think what you're talking about is stuff that we've suppressed and
yeah.
We're not looking at. It's really hard to do on your own. That's really hard. One place to start is by observing what's going on around you. How people are responding to you, the patterns that show up in your life. Do you constantly find yourself in the same type of situations with different people? But it's like the same kind of tape, you know, same kind of movie that's playing, and it's, you get rid of that one person and then another person comes into your life and it's the same old story. That's when you know there's something in there that you're, I don't know if you hear my cat. She wants to
I think your cat's trying to join in. She said, I know people just like that.
Well, you know,
really,
what?
It sounded like that.
She does like to hold energy, and she's a big one on, whenever there's a release or transformation of energy going on, she's always front and center. So yeah, this is her topic. So yeah, it's really hard. It's really hard to do. It's really hard to do on your own. And you have to realize that, one of the things I always say, we're always projecting. I have to clear my throat. So we're always projecting outwards, and people are like mirrors. We're all like mirrors, and we're all always kind of reflecting something back to each other. And it can get really tricky figuring out for yourself, because you have to remember you're in it. And when you're in it, it's so hard to see from that angle, you know, from that ground zero kind of angle. You know, it's because it's all around you. It's what you know. And a big part of it is the emotions. You know, the emotions, we don't like to look at ourselves and see in ourselves things that we're not happy with. It's so much easier for us to see it in other people. It takes practice, and it takes a commitment. You have to really mentally decide. I would say the first thing, you have to really mentally decide that you're going to do this, and you're going to commit to yourself that you're going to make this a priority to, you know, release stuff that is suppressed, and to get it out in the open and be able to see it and be able to look at it and gain that awareness. Once you are able to gain the awareness, it's not that the job is done, but it can be pretty, in comparison, it's pretty simple from that point. But the absolute hardest thing is being able to have that awareness. And the works of Carl Jung, Shadow Work, You know, that's amazing, amazing stuff that will help you in being able to determine that inner child work. It's a lot of healing. It's really about healing. And that's what gets difficult about it, because we need to look at it, get the awareness of it, and heal it. But at the same time, we don't like seeing it, and we have a tendency to get really hard on ourselves. We get judgmental. We get critical. I go through this a lot with my clients, and this was a huge thing for me in my life. You know, when I started working on my stuff, and I see almost every single client, you know, their first reaction, they notice something about themselves, they gain this awareness, and their first reaction is to, like, judge themselves for it. And it's this thing of, oh, this just has to go. This is just not acceptable that I behave this way, or that I'm doing this, or that's like the worst thing you can do to yourself, because you're rejecting yourself.
So taking that to be the opposite, it's about accepting yourself, accepting your own self.
Yeah, and that's what the neutral space is about. You know, going into neutral and just being okay. You know, and just truly, honestly, 100% being okay, where you can say, if I'm like this for the rest of my days, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with me with it. And that's a really scary thing to do, because I think a lot of people think, well, if I do that, that means I'm never going to change this. You know, and that's just the fear. That's just the ego fear creeping back in. And that is, you know, that's a nonsense perspective, but that's the perspective of the ego. We're so afraid, and we've been taught this. You know, we've been taught that don't sit with an energy or an emotion that feels negative to you. Get rid of that. You know, change that. Change into something else. Smile. Make yourself go off and do something that makes yourself feel better. I mean, that's what we're taught, how to respond to our emotions.
But deny. Keep denying, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. To really be able to say, I'm just off today. You know, before the show started, I told you last night, I don't know where it came from. Last night, it just out of nowhere, I just got hit with this wave of worry and anxiety. And I was like, what is this? You know, and I had been in a super, super great place, you know, for quite a few days, like consecutively. So it was such a contrast, you know, and I was like, and I was just, my first reaction was I was annoyed, you know, like, what, this just needs to go away. I was feeling so good. I want to feel how I was feeling, you know? And, you know, and it took me a while. And I was like, finally, I was like, you know how it is. Just, you're worried. You're anxious. You're feeling worried about something. You're in fear of something. And that's it. And the moment I can do that, it's just like, okay, now I can deal with this. And it's, you know, emotions, they only stay when we resist them. If we just sit with them, and I think that's, you know, kind of ties back into the buoyancy. You know, if we can just sit with them and just be like, oh, you know, like, yeah, I'm pretty angry. You know, if you can get yourself to be able to respond that way to it, you find, like, they just pass. They go away. Or they transform, however you want to, you know, look at it, you know.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, getting to the idea, again, this the word buoyancy, it just came. And the thing about, you know, if you imagine, even like you have a space hopper. You know, you have a space hopper? Did you have space hoppers?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
Did we call them something different?
Maybe. All right. Okay, large PVC balloon. Big enough to sit on, with a couple of horns or ears and a little face.
Oh, hoppity horse?
Hoppity, what do you call it?
Is it a child's toy?
Yeah.
Hoppity horse.
Hoppity horse. Well, we call them space
hoppers. The audience has to help me.
Okay.
they have to catch up for a second, because it's a delay. I think it was hoppity horse.
Okay, hoppity horse, or in Britain, space hoppers. Isn't it great? We speak apparently the same language, but we don't actually understand each other. This is what I love about the whole communication with others. You know, we think with communication is largely being able to understand what the other person's talking about, not actually. And indeed, to understand what somebody's talking about, you actually have to listen to them, and sometimes that doesn't always work. Anyway, so the idea of just having, you know, no matter if you had one of these hoppity horse space hoppers in your hand and you were thrown overboard, no matter how much the currents were trying to drag you down, if you held on tight to this thing, it's buoyant. It will not go down. It will not allow itself to go down. It will always pull you up to the top. And so that's all it needs is like a hoppity horse worth of balloon to keep yourself buoyant. So is there this is the thread, right, Michelle? What is the equivalent of that hoppity horse amount of air? What is the equivalent of a balloon that keeps us buoyant? A buoy.
I really think it's acceptance. It is. It's that shifting into neutral. Because if you think about it, right? All right, this just popped up for me with the hoppity horse. When we're on the hoppity horse, right? I'm like going back to my childhood days on the hoppity horse. What made it so fun, right, was because you wanted to see how high you could bounce, right?
Yeah.
So it was like the height was the enjoyment of it. But you're going up and down. So when you're going down, okay, it's happening so fast, right? But if we could do it all in slow motion, when you're going down, you're not disappointed that you're going down because you're just going to bounce back up. That's all part of the ride. Even though the goal, you know, or the lure is that high point, you enjoy the whole ride of it. You're not like, oh, the going down part sucks, but the coming up part is fun. Does that make sense?
Being able to be one with the process as opposed to the goal.
Yeah. So you just, when you're on your hoppity horse, you just enjoy the whole ride. And that's part of really why we need to be in acceptance of our emotions. Because, and I really don't want to make it sound like getting into a down place is a good thing. Because it's really not. And I'm not going to sit here and BS people saying, oh, you know, embrace, you know, the down times in your life. Because I don't believe that. I believe that we are here to enjoy. But the thing is that there's nuggets in there for us. And there's learning in there. You know, there's always something that it can teach us that will make our bounce higher the next time. So it is all part of the process. So it's just being able to accept that but not get attached to the going down. And I really want to emphasize that because there are people that really do embrace the difficulties and their challenges in life because they have this thing of, you know, well, you know, this is where all my learning is. We can learn in the high points in our life. It's just... yeah, just because of our imperfections and our imbalances, it's easier for us to learn in the, you know, the harder times, challenging times. And, you know, that's all part of the shift that we're going through. You know, the new reality, that's all going to shift. That's just part of this reality. So don't, you know, I'm not saying get happy, you know, or be glad that you're going through a hard time, like, you know, it's a great thing, but just understand that there's something in there for you to learn, and there's wisdom, you know, in there. And that wisdom comes through the emotions, through understanding the emotions. So be in that place of acceptance. And, you know, if you're going through a hard time, if you feel in a bad place, even if it comes out of nowhere, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it does make sense, even if it feels like or it seems like it's from an outside source, always be in acceptance of the feelings that you have around it and pay attention to them and use them as ways to learn more about who you are, what you are, where you are, and where it is that you're trying to go. because all of that, you know, those are things that we're always kind of dealing with in life. You know, we're always wondering, well, who am I really? What am I really capable of? You know, where am I going in life? These are common questions that we come up with. And all of those answers in their own way lie in that space where we can take any emotion that we're feeling and just be in that neutral place and acceptance of it and see what it has to teach us.
And I was looking earlier, you know, because there was something that I was looking at, or I think been thinking about, is that there aren't that many emotions, actually. There are many, many feelings, don't get me wrong, but there aren't many emotions. And the emotions, those are the things that show on our face, for instance, or that make us react. Emotion, they say, energy in motion and stuff like that. And basically, the way I see it is that an emotion is something that makes you do something. Whereas a feeling is something that you're experiencing, that it's like you're taking it in, and that one of the, you know, we have reasons for them, and for instance, the emotion of anger is the energy that it needs us, that we need to get an obstacle out of our path, because that's what you get angry with, is you get angry when something is in your way, you know, you're going along your way and it's in your way, and then you have to focus on, you know, either change, you know, generally you don't like to move your way because your way takes you through these places, so you generally you cut your way through it, that's how you get to a place where people will follow you, because that's why you're doing it, because you have your way and you're very connected with your way. So when you have somebody that is blocking your way, like a tree, for instance, so anger is the energy that gives us, anger gives us the energy that enables us to overcome that obstacle. That's the way I've been thinking about it. In the same way that fear gives you the energy that enables you to run away. What do you think?
I think it's really all about, you know, how it, you know, how I think it really all just comes back to how you choose to respond. And, you know, earlier Dove had said about anger leads to action. And I misunderstood what she meant, and then she cleared it up, and she had brought in about healing. So, I'm not sure, you know, I don't want to assume again and misinterpret her, but I can tell you, for me, most of these feelings are all about, most of these lower vibration feelings, anger, fear, big one, huge one, and usually fear is what's underneath anger if you got deeper below the anger. It's an opportunity for healing. So it's, approaching these kind of things, and that's where being in that acceptance state really comes from, or I should say the acceptance state really helps us, because to get into that healing kind of mode, because it's coming up because something needs to be healed, and we all have wounds, we all have emotional traumas, whether they're from this life, previous lives, you know, we all have them, whether we're aware of them or, you know, whether we're consciously aware of them or not, we all have them. And it's those traumas that are what's in our way. And that's the, you know, the illusion is that it's a tree blocking our path, when the reality is it's us that are that is blocking our path. And so it's kind of like, you know, I think of healing as taking back our power that's been, you know, programmed out of us, that belief in ourselves that we are capable of pulling off and accomplishing whatever it is that we want to do in life that's in alignment with our soul and our spirit. So it's a huge part of dealing with the negative emotions is, as far as dealing with them and working through them, is it's a healing process. You know, that's why I mentioned inner child work and shadow work. You know, that's what the shadow work is really great in, being able to uncover and you know, understanding the steps to get through it, through to them. And then, you know, then it's a healing process once you're there. But if you're not doing that from a neutral place, if you're doing it from, you know, a negative place, a negative state of mind or a negative attitude towards yourself, you're not going to accomplish any of that. And as for, like, really, every situation is different. And I think that's why it's so important. People have to really learn their own real formula of how to process their emotions and what works for them. But I think that's really critical before you can really start getting to the stuff as far as what's underneath the layers and what's already been suppressed. It sounds funny, but the majority of people don't know how to really feel what they're feeling. And so, I remember the first time I heard that, and I thought that was like the stupidest thing I had ever heard. Because I know what I feel like. I feel like blah, 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 blah. I feel like you're annoying me, right? That's usually like, that was my response back in those days. But then it took me a long time to realize, like, I really don't understand what the feeling is behind what I'm thinking. We're very clear in our thoughts. So I think that's really the key, is to really start being in that place of acceptance. And then your next step is to really want to be able to define exactly what it is you're feeling. Right? Because fear often feels like anger. Lust often feels like love. There's so many different ways that we distort everything. So if you want to get to a point that you want to get through an obstacle, you really have to know where you are first and what's going on truly inside of you. And so I think it's the process is being in acceptance of yourself and then just trying to really feel what it is that you are feeling. You know, am I really angry? And a lot of it's just asking yourself questions, you know, and you can say a big help is just asking yourself questions. So, you know, asking yourself, you know, if you feel I'm angry because so-and-so did this, or this is what's going on, you know, ask, don't be afraid to ask yourself, well, is that really what the situation is? Is it possible that I'm seeing this a little bit distorted? You know, is it possible I'm seeing this from kind of a narrowed focus where I'm not really looking at the big picture here? So really kind of getting into a place of really getting inquisitive and uncovering. Because I know there's a lot out there that says, do this, 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 and you're going to be able to master your emotions. You'll get a handle on your emotions. But it's really just not the truth. It's really, as far as being in control of your emotions and understanding your emotions and the way that you react to things, truly, truly being in mastery and awareness of that at all times takes a lot of work. Because we've spent our whole lives programming ourselves to believe all these things about emotions and what they are, which is not true. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no quick fix for it. There's no overnight fix. There's no magic, no magic stone, no magic rock, no magic anything that's going to just help you figure all this out. It's really about thinking about your emotions in a very different way and understanding that their power, their energy, and that the possibility to use them for your own benefit to get yourself through that path that seems blocked, to be able to get creative and find a way around it, over it, through it. You know, maybe you can just dissolve that tree. You know, there's so many options and possibilities once we are in a place of acceptance of our emotions, because when the emotions have the hold of you, that's when you get that narrowed focus and all you're going to see, oh, there's a tree down in my path. And you're going to go looking for who knocked that tree down, you know, and you're going to have a problem with that person that knocked your tree down. But that's the emotions having a hold on you. So being in that place of acceptance allows you to not fall into that narrow thinking and start seeing what your options are. Maybe you didn't even really need to go down that path. Maybe that's why the tree is in your way, because there was another path in the other direction that you missed. And that's where, if you go over there, you're going to find out a way better experience of life than you could have got down there. But the grip of emotions, when we fall into that, we miss all of that other stuff.
It's so easy to get into the drama of, oh, and this happened and that happened. Yeah. And for instance, like, I have actually had to pretend to be angry about this whole internet thing, to be honest.
The truth comes out.
I have to tell the truth.
I wasn't pretending. I was very angry at your internet.
But no, really, because, you know, it's been pretty stressful. And I knew that there was nothing I could do. I was totally, like, landlocked. I had no phone. I couldn't phone out to ask for any help because my phone was out. Long story. Anyhow, it was as if I've been given a holiday, and I made holy made holy electronics on my holiday. It was wonderful, and I went to sit in the forest, and it's just been nice to be kind of off the grid for a while. It relaxes the head. I don't feel that squeeze on my brain that I do when I'm online. It's just a very slight squeeze, but it's, I suppose it's the pressure of my reading glasses and my headphones, probably. I think it's kind of squeeze on the inside as well.
I think that's a great example, right? Because, you know, here was this thing happened to you, right? Your entire, I shouldn't say your entire, I really don't know what your
My life whole
is.
Life fell to pieces.
There's a big part of your life that revolves around the internet for sure,
yeah.
Right? So, what it would have been very easy for you to just see that as like an end of the world, a moment, if you got caught up in the emotion of it. And but by not getting caught up in something that you couldn't control, you're able to have these other pleasant experiences in the meanwhile. And yeah, we had extra work to do, but speaking for myself, like I said, I had been lax with my participation in the station anyway, so I don't feel that any injustice happened.
You kind of everybody caught up, eh? We're now all at a level. Everybody, we all know what is involved, if you see what I mean. What I mean? So it was a necessary vacuum, you could say. So, to that end, I have re-pitched to 432, the Rolling Stones, Emotional Rescue, as requested.
Yeah, thank you.
Tikiya, Shivari, Tarua, Tikiya Gadola.
There you go. That's what happens when you blow a shofar. Yeah, it's a little wee one she was blowing. It's only about 6 inches long on the thing, but yeah, they can be like, even a couple of feet long. Great big, old, curly old ram. Anywho. Happy New Year. This is the new moon. It is the, what do they call it? Shemitah, which is the 7 years of 7 years jubilee. And I believe that that's because of the 50-year orbit of Venus. Long story, but between 1500 BC and 800 BC, Venus wandered the skies and kind of swung past every 50 years, much to everybody's terror, and that's why they instituted the Jubilee. And they thought, right, well, how do we count this? Well, they're thinking, well, there's seven lots of seven. Now we can count to seven, that'll do. And so every 7 years you do a little jubilee, which is, you know, you do a forgiveness of debts. So we forgive others and then we get forgiven. But Jesus was saying, you know, forgive everybody all the time. You know, just don't get into debt. Just, you know, give people money. Don't lend it. Anyhow, welcome back. Emotional rescue and working on the stuff. We haven't got much time, Michelle. This is something you've been doing for years. You know, it takes a lot of time, investment in actually focusing to do it. Because most of the time, you know, why bother? You know, if I can just get through my life without being killed, then that'll do, won't it?
Well, you know? This goes back, I said in the beginning that, you know, emotions are energy, and our power is in our energy, and it's how we use our energy. So when we think about, we start thinking, well, how does all this apply to the shift we're in, right? And I know, like, well, so many people would rather just be in that place, like, I really don't want to think about this, you know? I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to do that work. It's hard work. I don't fluff that out for anybody. But if you're not in a place of gaining mastery of your emotions, you're not gaining control or mastery over your own personal power. And that's what this is about. The reason why we have been so encouraged to suppress our emotions is because they, in quotes, have known since the beginning of humanity that the best way to suppress an individual is through suppressed emotions. If your emotions are suppressed, you have suppressed your power. You're weakening yourself. And that is why all of these shifts that we're experiencing now are so connected to our emotions, and they create emotional upheavals for people. It's because, you know, and I know a lot of people look at this as it's something new, right? But it's really not. This has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. This is a cycle that our planet has been in for, it's been predicted thousands and thousands of years ago that this is where, you know, our planet is going to be. That was the truth of what 2012 was, right? It was all discombobulated and that the world was going to end in 2012, right? But we all know that, you know, didn't happen, and most of us knew that wasn't going to happen. It's the shift that we're going into. And we talk about the balancing of the feminine and the masculine energies and all this stuff that's going on. Emotions play such a big role, and we're having so much emotional upheaval is because emotions are critical to us as the masses regaining our power. And that is what this shift is all about. So that the masses are not suppressed, so that people do come into their power and we can create and we can get rid of darkness and evilness and we can create the world that we want. So I know when you look at it on the surface, you can say, well, you know, I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm interested in the other stuff. I'm interested in, you know, what's going on with the planet and how do I make a difference and how do I help this along and how do I, you know, do my own awakening and help others to awaken. This is such a critical part. Emotions are such a critical part because they play that huge role. You know, we use, you know, it's our manifest, it's emotions are the energy behind our manifestations, behind our creations. Somebody said in the chat room earlier about transforming energy as opposed to releasing energy. That's the ideal situation. That's really hard to do if you're not in touch with your energy, and you're not dealing with your emotions. How are you going to be able to transform energy? Right, because that's what it is. We're going through a transformation. Our planet, the world as we know it, you know, the world as we, I don't even want to say now, because I really feel that the shift has already happened. I feel that we're in it. I don't think it's something that's coming. I think we really are here. This is the early years, the very early years of it, and it's going to take, you know, however long for, you know, it to be more solid and be more reflective of the shift. But there's no doubt in my mind that we're already here. And all of these waves of energies that we're going through, they're stirring up emotions, because that's what needs to happen. Like I was saying, it's really hard to go down and digging and seeing what's underneath the layers. Well, think about it this way. It's like every time we get a shift that sends us into some kind of emotional state, that's, you know, the powers that be, powers that we want to be, helping us pull this stuff up and be able to deal with it. And so it's such a critical part of it. And I've been doing this for so long, and it's really interesting to me. And we talked a little bit about this last night. The last couple of years, my gosh, it's like boom, one after another, boom, 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 boom. I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon. I think this is how it's going to be until we complete our shift. Because there's, you know, when I first started doing this work, if I felt, you know, an external shift away from the universe, you know, a couple times a year, that was a lot. You know, now it's like you barely get out of one and you're getting into the next one. And so what that means is it is so much easier to get into a place of dealing with your emotions and gaining mastery over your emotions now than it was even 5 years ago. The difference in the energies now from 5 years ago, oh my God, it's like, it's literally a totally different world. That's why I know, like, we are here. We are in it. It's not something that's coming. And get used to this. Get used to these waves. This is, and the waves get easier the further you get in being able to manage your energy, the more healing you get done within yourself. All this stuff gets easier, and you start being able to get into a place where you see how it, you know, it's lifting you up, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, even myself, I mean, I don't resist it, or I try not to resist it, but I'm never like, oh yeah, bring on the next wave. I'm never in that place about it. But I know that it's going to come, and I know that it's what the outcome and how my life is going to be as a result of it is up to me, and I can make it a positive thing and let it bring me into a place that I wasn't in a month ago, or 2 weeks ago, or the day before, or I can let it, you know, just cause nothing but chaos and disruption in my life.
Well, look, let's just take our last couple of weeks, however long it was, whatever caused it, let's assume that it might be an effect of this incoming wave. For instance, they're up there on the top of a pole in northern Scotland, exposed to the wind, the constant wind, the rain, the constant wind and rain, the sun, the rain, the constant wind, heating, cooling. When you're talking about wires in plastic wrapping, eventually something's going to expand, contract, and it's going to come off. Especially if the pole is being swung around in the wind. And that's what happened eventually. You know, this is technology 100 years old. They used to send Morse code down it. And here it is being used for high-tech megahertz communication. And it's not happening. It's just not happening. So that was an example of a weak point. And we have emotional weak points like that that can snap us. But really, that, you know, some people call it a breakdown, but other people call it a breakthrough. And it depends on what side of it you're looking at it from. And so I think, really, if we look at ourselves as already being whole, and that these moments are moments where we can let go of our lack of wholeness somehow, we can then be grateful for them and explore the moment in the way that the energy has been given to you. So, for instance, I had a large dose of fifth-ray energy that I really had to work through, and that was like making something, building things, concrete things, concretizing thought. That's what the fifth ray is. And so I had to build my thought forms into form, and I had to make mistakes. I tell you, I did it. I made electronic circuits without paper, without writing it down. I did it completely. Here's a circuit board, and here's my device, and I wired it up just by my head without planning it. And it works. But the first time, you know, I had to get my head straight. Here's another example. I had to get my head straight about it because I had this, it's called Vero board, strip board, and you put your components on it. And I can't believe I did it now, but I wired up the LEDs, and I probably won't be able to explain this very well, but I'll try my best. You connect these components together like the wires built into the board. That's what I'm saying. The wires are built into the board, but I wired it the other way so that I was kind of against the grain, at right angles to the grain, basically, and I wired it up, and it was a horrible mess. And it didn't work, and it was fragile, and all the solder connections would break and everything like that. Then I took another piece of board and I turned it round 90 degrees and thought, hang on a second, I don't need all of that. I don't need all those wires. Why am I wiring all these things together when the wire's already in the board? So I just like turned it round and remade it, and it worked. And it, you know, it's working now, and I've had it running for a couple of days now, and it's just still working. So all is well. All is very well. And it was basically, yes, as Debriel was saying, you did it and now I know it. Without instructions, I don't need any piece of paper to tell me what this thing does. I know how it works. I don't need a piece of paper to write down, to draw something out, because it's kind of, it'll just flow out. That was really quite an experience. And then, you know, making these little arrays of lamps. I'm sure I'll find better and better ways, but I'm getting quite neat in my soldering, very quick and factory-like. So I quite enjoy that. You know, it's like, I suppose it's like sewing or crocheting, but at a higher temperature.
Crocheting at a higher temperature. I don't think temperature and crocheting go very well together.
It's like not the same, is it? But it's. I think what it is, you know, you have to be in the moment. It's a meditation. You have to be in the moment to solder well. Because, well, it's soul, you know. No, but joking aside, it's, you have to have all of the elements perfectly balanced. You have to have the right pressure of the tip. The tip has got to be in the right condition. You can't have too much solder or it goes everywhere and makes a bridge and blobs everything and short circuits things. You can't have too little because you won't make the connection. Every piece has to be equally hot, otherwise the solder flows a different way. You know, it's very subtle, and you have to just get in and get the rhythm of it, and ding, 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 ding. And then it becomes like a meditation. It's wonderful.
Well, that's it. I mean, you have to be in the moment to do anything well. You know, there's to really be in any kind of potential, you know, any kind of highest potential for yourself at that moment, you have to be in that moment. And, you know, that's what that grip of emotionalism does. It takes us out of the moment and we get into a place of worry, you know, and it's, I see so many people, like, they're worried about the energies, they're worrying about what's coming, they're worrying about what's going on over there, worrying about what's going on over here, and it's like, you have so much power if you just get yourself into the moment. you know, there's so much within you, there's so much divine wisdom within you. And if you can just get yourself into the moment, every single solution that you need is going to come to you. And you don't go worrying about what's going to happen over here or over there or next week or worrying about what happens, you know, that's already done and over with. Because you have that, you're in that flow and that guidance, your own guidance, your own pious wisdom can come through you and it tells you, this is where you need to look, this is where you need to be, this is where you need to focus. And then that's what you go and you do, and it's, and then it works out, you know. I really don't, I feel bad when I see people really worrying about, and I think part of it, you know, it's that ignorance is bliss thing. And, you know, as we start working on our awareness and as we start waking up, it can be a little frightening because you're seeing things that the rest of the world is not seeing. And it can be frightening. It can be scary. You know, but going back into yourself, you know, that's another thing of being emotional about it. You know, so going back into yourself, being in that present state, choosing a neutral space over a negative space. You know, that's when you can get to the answers and what's right for you, what's not right for you, what you need to do, what you don't need to do. And it's for everything, whether it's a mundane task like washing the dishes or mopping your floor or, you know, doing your part to help humanity and help this planet out, you know, or soldering really cool electronic devices, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, if you can just be in the moment and just not be in those bondages of fear and anger, not letting them grip and hold on to you. And then there's nothing to worry about. And that's what, you know, this shift, like I said, this has been going on for thousands of years. For thousands of years, there have been people, you know, doing their role in helping this shift through. You know, this has been going on since the beginning of mankind. So all of those people from day one, you know, all the oral teachings, all the ancient teachings, it's all about know thyself. You know thyself. Once you know thyself, then you can master thyself, and then you can do anything. It doesn't matter how evil the person is that's running the stock market. You know, it doesn't matter because you're in your power. People are in their power. And it's, you create the shift by the more, you know, the more people that are in that place, the greater the shift is. And the harder it is for people who are on that people or beings, you know, whether they're of this planet or another planet, it's harder for, if they're not of the same mindset, if they're of a dark, evil mindset, it's really hard for them to get traction in a place where you've got the mass amount of people that are empowered. How are they going to stand against that? They can't.
I think the problem will... Alex Collier, when we were talking about it, said the lot of males will have aneurysms. And this is the effect of moving from the very closely controlled, tightly controlled, masculine... focus, northern focus, you know, because it's about north and south, really. It's about north of the galactic hemisphere and south of the galactic hemisphere, and we're about to go into the middle, which is where everything has been, you know, back into balance. They were saying this is a nice show, that, you know, there's a nice balance that we're giving, I think, as well. We're moving towards where you don't have to be in control all the time. In fact, if you try to be in control all the time, things are going to go horribly wrong, because you don't... it again, it takes us back to this conversation that I was having with Alex Collier again about how he was driving the spaceship. Did you hear that bit?
No.
They let him play with him. They put him in the seat. They said, okay, you want to drive? Okay. Well, really? Yeah. And, you know, you're sitting in your car, right, Shel? You got your car. You got, are you a stick shifter?
Not anymore.
You're
too much traffic around.
You're an automatic girl these days, are you?
Yeah, I learned to drive on stick.
All right, so, but the thing is, you know, the clutch, there's a resistance to pressing the clutch. You know, you have to push your foot hard down on it, don't you? And, you know, and then you kind of slam this big rod into gear and you lift up the clutch and then you can feel the whole thing vibrating and it starts to move and you can feel the traction of the wheels on the road and the through the steering wheel and all of these things. And you feel all of this feedback, right? There's nothing like that on a spaceship, right? You're slipping through nothingness to wherever you need to go. So there's no feedback. You just have to have a steady mind, which is good. And so he said that the ship started wobbling about, you know, because his mind was wobbling about. You and the ship are one. If you haven't got a steady mind, then the ship's not going to be steady. Everyone was getting a bit nervous, and when he realized that the ship was doing this because he was doing this, he panicked even more, and the ship's really wobbling about. So. The guy put, yeah, see that's what happens, isn't it, Puss? Yeah, what's her name?
Luna,
there you go.
Yeah,
Luna. And indeed the lunar calendar is the one where we're celebrating, and interestingly enough the solar calendar, as created by Pope Gregory, which is what we call the Gregorian calendar, is also the same Pope Gregory who instituted the Inquisition. So, think about the solar, the solar calendar. Perhaps we ought to have a stellar calendar. You know, not one that goes by sun.
Maybe someday we will.
Mm.
Like maybe someday we won't have a calendar.
Mm.
Who knows? I was thinking about that yesterday. You know, like the hierarchy thing. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, having a non-hierarchy system, and so many have tried it and really struggle with it in this society. And I always kind of thought, well, maybe it's just we haven't advanced ourselves to that point, right? Because I love the idea of like anarchy. There's what was it? Anonymous has a I think it was like a 2-hour video I watched, and I don't know if this was theirs or they took it from somebody, but in there, I can't remember the name of the video, but there was like a section in there about, they did like a little cartoon of an anarchist. Well, you know, they were saying what anarchist really is, you know, like dispelling the myth of anarchy. And you know, they showed like two islands. One was an island of anarchists, and then the other was an island of like, you know, the government, and like showing the differences. And I, you know, anytime I see it, it's like, oh yeah, I wish that's how things were. And then I wonder, you know, we don't even know if that's, we're so far from it all that we don't even know what is going to be our the reality once we get really solid into it. But I really do feel that whatever it is, that's where we're going. And you know, it's happened, it's begun, and I don't think there's any stopping it. And again, not of this world, not of the extraterrestrial world. And I don't I'm not saying that it's going to be an easy ride, because it's going to be, you know, it is a challenging ride. But that whole key of just, you know, being in that moment and just know that you're a powerful being, and you've got gifts that they have suppressed. You know, they have suppressed this stuff within the masses since the beginning of time. It's always been done. And in this place, in this period of time, we're all fortunate enough to be here, as difficult as it can be, and as scary as it can be, and as annoying as it can be, we're all able to be in this experience, this, where for the first time, I believe in our world, that mankind is really, or humankind, I should say, is really having the opportunity to fully step into their power and have this balanced, equal level of power. And, you know, if you're not working on yourself and you're not doing it, you're going to get there anyway. You know, maybe it's not going to happen in this lifetime, but you're going to get there anyway, just because there's so many people that are creating the shift. That's the ride you're going to be taking along with anyway. So I feel the momentum's here, the momentum's happened, and it's undergo. And the more that you can, you know, be in that moment with yourself, being acceptance of yourself, be curious about what you really are capable of, what you can find out for yourself, what you can discover for yourself. You know, like you were saying with the soldering, you know, you need a piece of paper. You know, it was just coming to you. You know, get into a place of discovery, you know, of curiosity with yourself. What am I really capable of? And start really tapping into that, because this is what all these energies, as disruptive as they feel, and with all the talk, you know, that there is about this is what's going on with this race and that's what's going on with this race, what's really happening is an enabling, a support for us to really step into who we truly are. And that's such an exciting time. And, you know, we're so far from that, you know. We don't know what we're capable of. We don't know what our true healing capabilities are. You know, maybe we can, maybe we have the ability to just simply think a healing thought, and the guy next to you's broken arm can be repaired in a second, you know? As quick as Alice Collier was, you know, controlling that spaceship with his thoughts, you know, maybe that's what we're capable of with healing. We don't even know. We have no clue. But
exactly. That's what Nancy's talking about, being a reality changer, you know.
Oh, the whole system of it is. And one thing I kind of want to share, I don't usually share these things, but I guess it was about a year ago, I had a vision. I was seeing the human race as kind of like, I'm not really good at science terms, but kind of like a big blob, you know, and like we're all making up this blob, you know, like this, that whole we're all connected kind of thing. So I had this vision of seeing us as this big blob, and we were passing through a gateway, and the front part of the blob, which is, you know, all the peoples make up this big blob, there was a portion of the blob was through that gateway, and the rest was behind, and I couldn't see the end of it. But the rest was behind, and, you know, it was that knowing, that telling that, you know, this is where we're at, and that we're going through that direction, you know, and everybody has to come together. We're all going together. We're all going through this gateway together. And last week, so that was about a year ago, last week I had the same exact vision, but the amount that was through the gateway was a huge, huge difference. I still could not see the tail end of it. It was still way back there. But the front part of it, there was such a huge difference. So the progression that we've made just in this past year is ginormous. And there's so much going on that reflects that in the day-to-day things. There's huge movements going on in Africa with a story I was reading about today with entrepreneurs getting together and starting, and they're doing very well. They're actually have had a lot of success already. They're working with the African people, regular, mostly moms, mostly mothers, that have access to a lot of the natural healing remedies. And I can't think of the name. I know one is from the Bobo tree. Is that how you pronounce it? The Bobo tree in Africa.
Bill Bell. No, not Bill Bell. That's in Spain.
It used to be Baobab.
Baobab.
That's the Hobbit. Baobab.
We're talking about buoyancy and baobab. Ming, 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 ming. Tarua tequila.
Yeah, I forget what it is that they're extracting.
Mine's a sunrise.
It's from the dried leaves. But they have this whole thing going on where they're working with a lot of the African moms in harvesting a lot of Africa's own natural resources that have been just been throwing away, you know, treated like weeds or whatever. And they're harvesting them for their natural resources, and they're super, super high apparently in nutrients. And so there's a lot of that in Africa. There's a lot of natural resources that are just deemed as trees, as weeds, and they have tremendous healing properties. And so these are people that really do care about the African people. They're not manipulating them. They're not exploiting them. They're not using them. It really is or it seems to be, anyway, I really got that impression that it was genuine. That it's this, and they were from the UK, the guys that run this, so they're not, you know, from Africa, they're from another country. And they're getting a lot of, you know, big people on board that are for this, you know, to put up the money, and because it all costs a lot of money, but this is the way it's going. And they even won, they won some award, I forget what it is, but it's unprecedented, because they're a for-profit company, but they're, their focus is they're viewed as their focus is on social business. That's what they call, I think they call it social business. They're the first time anybody won that award, or they came in second or something, over strictly for profit, you know, typical, you know, old paradigm corporate kind of entrepreneurial ideas. And so they're winning because there's so many people that are like, yeah, this is what we want to see. These are the kind of businesses that we want to start seeing prosper and flourish, not these other businesses that are just about, you know, a few high executives, C-level executives making trillions of dollars, and everybody else gets shit, you know? So it's all happening. It's all happening. It's just a matter of time, and we're not seeing it. You have to go looking for these kind of stories. But there's so much that's going out there. There's so much traction that's gained. So swim with the water nymphs. I love that. I love the water nymphs. Swim with the water nymphs and just ride the wave, surf the wave, and, you know, be true to yourself and be in the moment, be accepting of everything about yourself. You know, if you're angry, you know, don't get down on yourself about it. If things are going wrong, if you start noticing you're repeating negative patterns in your life, if you see it, you know, don't beat yourself up about it. Just be accepting of yourself. And once you make that acceptance, that's you've empowered yourself to change.
Yeah, because you've decided that you're not what your emotions are, and that you can decide and redefine and do all those good things. One of the things I've been using last couple of weeks is the EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique. Have you heard of this?
Sorry, the what?
EFT. Tapping.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you're basically taking your body through... You're almost literally moving an energy down from the top of your head, down below your heart. That's, you know, by tapping it, you're kind of squeezing it along like toothpaste along a tube. That's the way I'm seeing it anyway, energetically. And it's all about getting to a point where you're okay about it, you know, because it says, you know, even though do you support it, or do you have any doubts about this?
I came across that, I guess it was about 6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And I worked with it a little bit, and it's, of my opinion, I don't have anything, there's nothing wrong with it, but it is not going to create any kind of work with anything that's suppressed. It can make you feel better, I think, in that moment. It can kind of help you at passing addiction, you know, like if you're trying to quit smoking. None of it worked for me in that way, but I've heard people that it can. But it's a very surface effect that you're doing. You're not diminishing your subconscious, because that's what being in the moment and, being empowered is about, decreasing your subconscious mind and increasing your conscious mind. So ultimately, you don't want to have a subconscious mind. You want everything to be conscious and be aware of everything, which is know thyself. That's not, EFT is not a pathway for that. It can be helpful for, like I said, in the moment, I think. Some people might find it useful to kind of help relieve if they're feeling extreme emotions and they're really triggered and really stuck to something. It might ease it up a little bit to help them to get into that neutral place. But I don't see it doing anything past that. So I think it's like anything else. These things are tools. There's no magic fix. But yeah.
Okay, fine. Anyway, but the thing I came across was, it was basically a series of things, which was, even though this has happened, then, you know, and I feel this, and this, and this, and this, even though all of that may be true, but I still accept myself as I am. And for me, that seemed to kind of sum things up, really, in the way we need to look at our emotions, is that we're not our emotions, and like you say, we can allow them to pass through. Now, if I apply my circuitry analogy, if everything's a hologram and what I did in the last 3 weeks was not just about making little circuit boards, that it was perhaps a way of thinking, like literally. Current is the same as water, so. Literally going with flow. Hang on, I'm going to sneeze. Why am I going to sneeze? Hang on a second. Why did I sneeze? I don't know why I needed to sneeze. Anyway, must have raised them. I've been dusting things today.
You know what helps sometimes with sneezing? If you put your chin up and you look down.
All right.
So you raise your chin, you put your head back. I learned that from somebody who broke their nose. That was what they made them do, because you can't sneeze when you have a broken nose, or you don't want to sneeze.
Oh, if you want to stop a sneeze. But yeah. If you want to sneeze, and you feel you need to sneeze, look at a bright light. That will make you sneeze.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I guess it's good to sneeze sometimes.
Yeah.
Not always good to suppress.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, it might be about channeling the energy into something less harmful. For instance, you know, if you sneeze, you're going to break your nose, so you need to move that energy somewhere where you can get the same effect of draining your sinuses, but without probably, yeah. So yeah, just being, and really, it's about accepting who we are now, today, here I am. This is it. That's as far as we get. It's as far as I've got. And it's fine, because you're still alive. We're still breathing. You know, as long as you can get to the next breath, you're a success, I think. And I tell you, sometimes I've had to get, you know, like you have to survive on very little. That's the bare minimum. You know, I'm doing well if I can get to the next breath. Yeah, that's fine. Fine by me,
yep,
isn't it?
There's definitely times in life where that's really all it's going to be. I'm still breathing, and that's my accomplishment for today.
Yep.
I've had many of those times.
Yeah, and you know, and if we can make it to like next October, still breathing, if we can still be breathing, you know, because this is some of my themes is, you know, I don't breathe very much. And when I was looking with we're talking with Walt and Nancy about the this frequency that Walt had discovered, which was oxygen and abundance, it all started to fall into place. So I thought, yes, it is very important that we breathe and that I breathe, and that it is the key to abundance. And if we hold our breath, then terrible things happen. And
that's blocking
the flow, isn't it? You know, breathing is the main thing that we do to stay alive, and a lot of the time we do everything we can to stop doing it.
And there's so much that you can do to alter your breathing and alter your state of being, you know, and breathing different. Sometimes I just feel like it's just, I have a really hard time. Like, I meditate every day, but some days I just, for whatever reason, could be something external, could be something internal, whatever, it's just really hard to get to that centered place. So I breathe in and hold. So I breathe in for the count of four, hold for the count of four, then I exhale for the count of eight. And man, I can do that like three times, and it's just like, boom, I can just totally center and get to where I need to be. You know, or sometimes you just take those big deep breaths and you just like let it out, like you're just collapsing, like, you can do sound effects with it, and it can lighten your load if you're carrying a heavy load. You know, there's so, breathing is like such a great way to help you. I think breathing is, you know, if you're looking to kind of get into a space where into more of that neutral place and that relaxed kind of space, if you're all caught up in something, I think breathing is a lot more powerful than EFT. And it's easier.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's free, and you don't need to look like an idiot tapping your face.
Yeah, you don't have to study a book on how to do it, and this sequence and that sequence. And where was that?
I think there's only one. There only seems to be one sequence, and it just goes down your face from you. You just go around your eye. And, yeah, as...
EFT?
Yeah, so...
No, there's a whole... I have a whole
big book. Oh, so there's just one pattern. It just goes, this is like a question mark down your face. Oh, anyway.
Well, that would be one thing, and then... and then there's like other, like I said, it was like 6-7 years ago, but it's like sequences and different points on your body. Kind of, I think they're supposed to be relative to some of the acupuncture chakras.
So, we're coming up to the end of the show, and the breath. So, it comes down to, in the end, how do we retain emotional buoyancy? Just make one next breath, and make it a good one. And make every breath a good one, alright? Because here we go. Tony Minervino, he gave us this clue. Everybody's given us a clue. And by the way, I was talking to Nikki, and the idea of the Borax came from Karen McDonald, who was another previous guest. So, you know, credit where it's due. So, Tony introduced us to the breath, which is the in through the nose and out through the mouth. It has amazing, amazing effects. It really does. Because if you breathe in through the mouth and out through the nose, that's like building up the pressure. And so if you find yourself under a lot of pressure, breathe into the nose and then out through the mouth. And you can feel the pressure going down. It's like a pump. We're like a pump. And so we can decrease the pressure in our bodies or increase it by the way we breathe in and out. Isn't that interesting?
It's so true. You know, I've meditated for so long. I take it for granted. But that really should be the only way that we breathe, is in through the nose and out through the mouth. That should be, and if you you wouldn't do this just normally through the day, but like if you meditate, which I think everybody should meditate, if you meditate and put your tongue right at that ridge, like above your teeth, that helps open up and decalcify your pineal gland
and your sinuses. Yep.
And maybe. And that's why I don't have sinus problems anymore.
And Luna agrees, yeah. Because it's a pump. That's it, really. I'm not kidding. If you apply a little more pressure at the top of your nose, when you hold that point there and press in the back of your tongue, with that same point, press with that. Because the palate, the pineal gland is part of the palate, but you can kind of pump the soft part of the palate, and it sort of loosens the... sort of varies the pressure and loosens the valves of the... It's technology, you know. It's like a technology, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, we are. We are technology.
So, marvelous. I'd like to thank you so much.
I feel very emotionally
buoyant now.
Let's all get on our hoppity horses. And what did you call them? Space hoppers?
Space hoppers. They sound much better as space hoppers.
You guys must have got much higher.
We have better marketing people. They come up with better names. Space hopper, you know. Boing, boing. You know, this is like kids in the 70s. Yeah.
Well, I think more girls had the hoppity horse than boys.
Yeah.
And I wonder more boys in the UK had the space hopper than girls.
Yeah, maybe.
So thank you for having me.
Thank you all
for hanging out and being here and for participating.
Excellent. So I'm going to leave you with a track from a dear friend of mine. I think she's recorded in 432. I'll check. This is Leela Senior, and it's called Elemental. That'll start just after the end of my show. So thank you very much, Michelle Caruso. When's your show? What's your website?
Fourth Sunday of the month, so this month's going to be on the 27th. Cool. Then I'll be on the full moon. Yeah, the full moon. So we had this show, the new moon. Then mine's gone the full moon. And then 11 EST and www.infinitylightdesigns.com.
Sorry, you said full moon. I just had to have a quick howl there.
I didn't know what's going on. So I keep talking. What do I do? I'm in doubt, just keep talking.
InfinityLifeDesigns.com, just in case I mask.
Yeah, you can like me or friend me on Facebook. There's Conscious Living page. And that's the name of my show, is Conscious Living. Mm-hmm. That's a name.
Yeah. So, we'll see you again in 2 weeks' time, Michelle. Thank you so much. It's been buoyant.
Thanks, JP. Thank you. Love to you all.
Good night, everybody.